Right, good morning. Brexit, of course, is never far from the tip of our tongue, and European leaders will discuss the parameters of the forthcoming Brexit negotiations with the UK actually tomorrow. And if we look at some of the stories that are in the papers, including there's one in the Belfast Telegraph there that has a headline, "Potential for a United Ireland to be included in Brexit talk guidelines." And a report from John Downing and Kevin Doyle says European leaders are to acknowledge the potential for a United Ireland in a move that will allow the province back into the EU automatically if reunification occurs. And let me speak to Jamie DeLargy about this, who's always got his eye on all things economic and Brexit affairs and political affairs as well. Jamie, good morning.
Morning, Frank.
Jamie, if you read this, if you cast your eye across it, you'd almost think that there's some sort of deal being done that may lead to a United Ireland happening quicker than some people would want it to happen. But it's not as simple or straightforward as that.
No, it's not even remotely like that. I mean, what it's doing is it's as part of and consonant with the Good Friday Agreement. It's laying out the terms which will enable a United Ireland seamlessly to move into the EU. But that depends on there being a vote for United Ireland. That of course, would have to have a majority to take effect. And so the whole thing, you know, you can imagine a scenario when all this happens, except in the middle of it, you have this vote, a border poll, and if you believe there would be a majority for a United Ireland and Northern Ireland, then you could plausibly argue that, yes, we will continue to stay in the EU, and that will be all facilitated by Brussels. But, you know, the sticking point is clearly what's going to happen in that poll. And since nobody that I really have read or whose views I've taken on board thinks that the poll would produce a majority for United Ireland in Northern Ireland, then it's none of the sort of, if you like, the roller coaster that's been outlined just simply doesn't get going.
However, is there a possibility, if Brexit is so hard, that people in Northern Ireland are then looking at the disadvantage of being within the United Kingdom, out of Europe? They might be more prone to voting for a United Ireland, calling for a border poll, than they would be at this present moment in time.
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of people are very annoyed about Brexit, really think it's a retrograde step, don't think that it's going to be easy for us, certainly in the short term, maybe long term. We can have a more positive outcome, but in the initial stages, I think it's been increasingly recognised that this is a very tricky, awkward process that have all sorts of implications for farmers, for anybody who exports to the EU, and that it is really going to be quite negative in the early stages until we get deals with all these third-party countries like America, like Canada, etc. And people are very nervous. Does that then mean that they are going to change their voting patterns of a lifetime and cast their support in favour of United Ireland? Now, you could again say that people, maybe as things move forward and it becomes more clear and it becomes more evident the difficulties there are, that some people may change their allegiance, but I don't think it's going to happen. I mean, I don't think sufficient numbers are going to say, well, look, you know, this is too difficult for us, because, you know, they have to remember the degree to which Westminster bankrolls Northern Ireland. I mean, I haven't looked at the figures, the most recent numbers, but we are talking about the difference between what we produce in taxes and what is given to us in terms of spending, both the block grant and then the other form of spending which comes in, which is called, I hate using these technical terms, but AMI, it's the pension payments, etc., the social welfare payments. The gap is something around 7, 8, 9 billion pounds. Now, initially, before our economy would take off as part of this great United Ireland, it would have to, the South would be required to find that amount of money, let's say because of the difficulties involved, around £10 billion a year. Now, where is the South going to find that sort of money? So what we're talking about is, you know, it just doesn't have the cash. Therefore, people will be thinking, well, yeah, I mean, leaving the EU is bad. It's bad economically. But are we going to be assured that the South, that Dublin will come up with the 10 million that we need to keep us in the lifestyle to which we become accustomed? And then you begin to think, well, there's one economic risk on one side and there's another economic risk on the other side. Do you know what? Just let's stay put.
And finally, Jamie, is there a possibility, and certainly suggested in this report in the Belfast Telegraph I'm having a glance at here, is there a possibility that the EU will continue to grant aid Northern Ireland in relation to the ongoing process that has grown from the Good Friday Agreement?
Well, they have said, I mean, that you know, if you look at probably more important part of the letter from the European Council President Donald Tusk, he is making it clear Ireland is one of the three priorities in the first phase of those talks. So they are going to do their damnedest to help, you know, people, us here in Northern Ireland and indeed in Ireland as a whole. I mean, it is important to them and they'll try their best to ensure that we're not as adversely affected as I think a lot of people fear. But it's the problem then becomes, you know, the goodwill that exists and says among the bureaucrats and technocrats in Brussels who would like to do something, and the proposals they would come up with, and then how that would be sold to the 27 remaining EU states. And as I keep harping on about, I suppose to people's annoyance, it really depends on what some government in, let's say, Slovenia, in Lithuania, Estonia, who've got all sorts of issues of their own, thinks about that deal. And they think, do you know what? I understand why you know, people would like to have this special relationship that grants Northern Ireland, which is now no longer a part of the EU, particular rights that are not enjoyed by the state that, you know, that we border. Do you know what? I don't think so. I really don't think so. And do you know what? I'm the only one. I may be the only person or the only voter in this. When it comes down to making the decision to go against it, but I'm just going to say no because I don't like it, and that's it. And that's what.
And
it
one can scupper it.
One country can scupper the whole thing and just say. And then we're at the end of very long and fraught talks, which everybody's nerves are afraid to breaking point. And somebody says, well, do you know what? It's important in Northern Ireland, but you have to think of the greater good of the whole EU and the UK as a whole. After all, there's only 1.8 million people in Northern Ireland. Really, do you know what? Just take that paragraph out.
Jamie, interesting commentary as always. Thanks for your time this morning. Thank you. Jamie DeLargy, business commentator, looking at Brexit one more time. And there's a lot of talking and a lot of discussing, a lot of debating. And of course, very soon, a lot of voting to be done. Right.